Have you got a PowerPoint? And before I start, I'm not going to start with a joke because that is Roger's domain. So I'm hoping that my PowerPoint illustrations will give my sense of humour. But before I start, I've actually got a prophetic word. And actually, it's already been mentioned. A few weeks ago, I think I spoke about awakening the church. And I think one of the lines I did say was about, we don't know we're asleep until we wake up. But the image I had during worship today was a room full of candy floss, which is quite a weird picture. And the other image I had was someone driving in the fog and the mist. And both of those kind of were distractions. You couldn't see in front of you. And I think the candy floss represents the distractions of the world, the sweet things, the things that we're attracted to that aren't actually helpful. And the mist itself is the things that come upon us, the heaviness, because of what we see around us. And I felt God say there's two ways of counteracting that. For candy floss, the best way of removing candy floss is to spray it with water and it just disappears. And I believe God's saying, you need my spirit. And the only way that mist or fog is dispersed is by the heat of the sun. We need the spirit and we need Jesus. We need the living word. So what Harvey's mentioned, the word and the spirit are so important for us to see clearly, hear clearly. And for us, the passion that we have is that the church is mobilized to be all that she is needed to be at this time. So we pick up from where we left off from last week. And I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. This sobering scripture from Ezekiel 22, verse 30, is what's prompted Roger and I to unpack what it means to stand in the gap, calling on the name of Jesus, declaring that our families, our neighborhoods, our towns, our nation, our world will be all that they were meant to be, instead of being subject to attack and destruction from enemy forces. You know, God has a plan for not us, just us personally, but for our country and our town, Stroud. It has a destiny, and I believe the Lord wants it to thrive in terms of prosperity and spiritually. That means that our town's inhabitants, living according to John 10, verse 10, experiencing life to the full, knowing him, knowing who they are in him, and being all they were designed to be. We know that the enemy only wants to kill, steal, and destroy, and that includes people's dreams, visions, and their purpose. But I believe our town can be a beacon of hope, of righteousness, if God's people pray in accordance with his agenda, stand in the gap, be conscious of any brokenness in the metaphoric walls, and start pushing back the forces of evil. You see, if there is a gap, unless we as Christians pray for it to be filled with the right things, the wrong things, potentially harmful things, will do so instead. Last week, Roger and I introduced this two-part talk on standing in the gap, which requires the watchmen, gatekeepers, and intercessors working together in unity. I explained the role of the watchman, who in the Old Testament stood on the city walls and stayed alert to danger, especially enemy attacks, sounding the trumpet to warn of potential danger. Spiritually, the watchman is essentially a prophet, a man or woman who has the authority to speak to individuals, churches, cities, nations, businesses, organizations, and all of creation. Instead of physical weapons, they use their ears, eyes, and mouth. They see in the spirit and report back to others so that they can understand what the Lord is doing and take appropriate action. As Isaiah 21 verse 6 says, go post a lookout and have him report what he sees. I was really encouraged this week by Lectio 365. Some of you may read or listen to it on a daily basis. And they highlighted the role of the watchman and the vital importance of building up the walls of protection for our communities. And they said this prayer. Maybe you can take it as your own. I am. Holy Spirit, I pray for my church, SEF. Fill us and equip us to be the watchmen on the walls of our community. Teach us to pray and never give up, reminding you to remember, giving you no peace until your kingdom comes and your will is done here as it is in heaven. I ask you to include me among your watchmen. Teach me to persist until I see you at work. Amen. However, the watchman needs to know who to report to, and this is where the gatekeepers and intercessors come in. So what is a gatekeeper, and what is he or she responsible for? The watchman watches and sees danger ahead. The gatekeeper, on the other hand, is the one responsible for allowing people through the city gates, and that requires discernment as to who or who not to let in. Now, gates are mentioned often in scripture, and gatekeepers were an important part of maintaining order in ancient societies. They were guards stationed for protection at various kinds of gates, such as city, palace, and temple gates. Ancient cities had high, thick walls around them to keep out wild beasts and invading armies. Heavy gates were set within those walls to allow entrance and exit. A gatekeeper had to be trustworthy and alert for any signs of trouble. If a gatekeeper wasn't doing his duties well, the results could be disastrous. A whole town or city could be ruined. In 1 Chronicles 9, it tells us that David and Samuel appointed 212 gatekeepers to guard the temple of the Lord. Those appointed rotated through week-long assignments. In verses 26 to 29, we hear about the four principal gatekeepers who were responsible for the rooms and treasuries in the house of God. They guarded it, had charge of the key for opening it each morning. Temple gatekeepers were responsible for overseeing who went in and who went out. They ensured order and reverence for God's house. Allow me to digress for a moment. As there's only seven years between our five beautiful daughters. Now, getting out of the door and back in again was quite an art, especially in the early years. I literally did count them all in and count them all out. But a couple of times, my gatekeeping skills lapsed. On one occasion, I failed to count them all in. For half an hour, I hadn't realised that Rosie was missing. I knew I'd brought her home, but I couldn't find her in the house at all. I went into panic mode, fearing the worst. I checked in the car, nothing. It was winter and it was dark by 5 p.m. I couldn't find her anywhere. I finally checked the car again, and there she was at the back of our 8-seater Toyota, curled in a ball behind the middle seat. I had failed to count her in. Another occasion, Roger and I got a call when we got home from church, asking if we'd forgotten anything. No, we said, but we had left Rosie behind. We had driven there separately and both thought the other had taken her home in our respective cars. So when you do hear this, Rosie, please forgive us for not being good gatekeepers at those moments in your life, and please don't hold that against us. But what is a modern-day secular gatekeeper? These can be historical, geographical, and governmental. National and local government, the royal family, business, media, education, the NHS, policing, youth, media, and religion, including the church. So examples may be bankers, teachers looking out for the children in their classroom, lock keepers, figures of authority in our towns, the mayor, council leader, neighbourhood watch team. But it can also be the lollipop lady. Take Gloria, our lovely Christian friend, who faithfully crosses thousands of children across the road safely at the bottom of Hollow Lane, no doubt praying for them as well. Faye and Woody, who welcomed you here today, they watch by the gate of this church. We can all be gatekeepers of our families, being watchful to know what to allow into our homes physically, emotionally, and spiritually. John Bunyan illustrates the need for a spiritual gatekeeper in his book, The Holy War. In this allegory, Bunyan likens humanity to a city. This famous town of Mansoul had five gates within, which he calls ear gate, eye gate, mouth gate, nose gate, and feel gate. And I believe this is key for the health of our homes, our churches, and community. The five senses are the gates by which the human soul interacts with the world through the physical body. These gates must be guarded, and in Bunyan's terms, Mr. Godly Fear is the man to do it. He was a trustworthy man of courage, conduct, and valour, and the enemy attacked Mansoul in vain, as long as Godly Fear was the gatekeeper. To be an effective spiritual gatekeeper, we need to be gatekeepers for ourselves and our families. What are we watching? What are we listening to? What are we feeding ourselves with? What are we allowing our young people to be exposed to? We need to guard our ear gates, eye gates, and so on. When we ignore our gatekeeper, we put ourselves and those we love in jeopardy. But when we, in godly fear, heed the warnings of the Word and the Holy Spirit, we're safe. We called our talk Standing in the Gap. Now, the gaps in our town will look different to other towns. Nehemiah recognized that the walls of Jerusalem needed rebuilding and ensured the gaps were closed. It says in Nehemiah 6, verse 1, I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors in the gates. Repairing the broken down wall and closing the gaps was important, but it's not enough, because if there's no gate protection, the enemy can still walk right in. Let's move on to Nehemiah 7, verse 1 to 3. It says this, after the wall had been rebuilt and I had set the doors in place, the gatekeepers, the musicians, and the Levites were appointed. I put in charge of Jerusalem my brother Hanani, along with Hananiah, the commander of the citadel, because he was a man of integrity and feared God more than most people do. I said to them, the gates of Jerusalem are not to be opened until the sun is hot. While the gatekeepers are still on duty, have them shut the doors and bar them. Also appoint residents of Jerusalem as guards, some on their posts and some near their own houses. Nehemiah was intentional and direct in setting up precautions. And later it goes on to tell us there were 172 men assigned to keep watch at the gates. We are the primary gatekeeper of our lives. Are we as intentional about keeping the enemy from gaining access? Do we have the necessary precautions in place? When temptation comes knocking at our gate, the Holy Spirit nudges our scripture-informed conscience. That's dangerous. Don't go there. The divine gatekeeper acts on our behalf to keep invaders from destroying us, but we need to be obedient and act on the warnings. Now, watchmen can also be gatekeepers, and as Christians, every one of us can operate as a gatekeeper within our own sphere of authority and influence. Nehemiah recognized the importance of gatekeepers to ensure that the city was protected from enemies entering the city unchallenged. These gatekeepers were people of integrity and God-fearing. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. God's given us the authority to close or to open the gates spiritually. It's not about binding what we want or loosing what we think should be loose, but it's about understanding what God is doing. As John chapter 5, verse 19 to 20 says, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. We can't do this in our own strength. We want to be in tune with God, working hand in hand with him to act as his gatekeepers. Now, I know a number of the stories we're telling are associated with the Northwest, but as I mentioned last week, Roger and I are part of a team based in Merseyside who have recognised the importance of the roles of watchmen, gatekeepers, and intercessors. And over the last 20 years or so, they've been ministering in that way for their region. Back in early 2002, the Chief Constable of Merseyside Police declared that Merseyside was the drugs distribution capital of the UK. Off the back of that statement, Sue Sinclair, who leads the team, cried out to God, "Lord, what are we going to do about it?" And God replied this, "It's time for the church to arise and declare a stop in the heavenly realms and a turning of this tide of evil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but our struggle is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." God was recruiting the gatekeepers. People were mobilized from across the churches in the region to pray as good gatekeepers and to support Merseyside Police. And as the gatekeepers went to work to close the gates, God heard their cries and the team witnessed many answers to their prayers. 300% increase in information being made available to the police, enabling them to have huge success in seizing illegal drugs. A massive increase in treatment and help being made available for drug users. And nightclubs and a pub used by major gangs was closed, with drugs and weapons seized. By January 2004, a government report confirmed that Merseyside Police were winning their battle against crime. And even this week, there are reports that across Merseyside, there's been a promising decrease in antisocial behaviour. Why am I telling you this about a region that's 150 miles north of here, for which many of us cannot relate to? The reason I share this is that we have to understand the power and authority we have to close the spiritual gates so that the enemy is weakened. Understanding how to close gates in the spiritual realm is critical to seeing lives, families, and our communities transformed. And as Christians, every one of us can operate as a gatekeeper within our own area of authority and influence. One of the first places we learn to operate it is in our own families. Working with God to bind what he wants to be bound and loose what he wants loosed. We cannot afford to be apathetic, sleepy, or unconcerned. As we take heed of the prophetic watchman and close the gates to what we know is going to be harmful, we will make our families, our towns, nations safer and thriving places. But we also need the intercessors. So, Rog, would you unpack what an intercessor is?
Thank you, Tracy. The role of gatekeepers is so, so important. And we can all be gatekeepers in, as Tracy said, in all the influences of where we operate. And it might just be as part of your family. You know, I was privileged to be part of a Zoom prayer meeting this week from people all over the nation. And we were specifically praying for crime. And it was the day that that 80-year-old had been murdered by kids. And we were praying that families would recognize what they allow their kids to be exposed to and what they're feeding their minds with. Some of these video games that they play are so graphic and so disturbing, but it feeds their minds. And what does that do for them? And so we were praying around that. You know, being gatekeepers is so important. So we've unpacked the role of the watchman. We've unpacked the role of the gatekeeper. But the third role we need to look at is that of the intercessor. And we keep coming back to this verse, which, by the way, isn't quite right, what we're showing there. The actual verse says, "And I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one." I think that's the saddest verse in the Bible. It's the saddest verse in the Bible that God is looking for people who will stand in the gap, but he found no one. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is found at the start of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Listen to this from verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I think that's a really powerful, powerful word. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I love that verse and I pray it regularly. Your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done right here on earth, right here in Stroud, right here in my family, right here in my workplace. And that, in essence, is what an intercessor does, praying unceasingly that God's kingdom, his will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So what does an intercessor look like? An intercessor is somebody who loves to be in the presence of God and makes developing intimacy in their relationship with God one of their top priorities. They are humble, not arrogant. They are quick to repent and deal with any sin so that nothing hinders them from allowing God to move through them as they pray and as they seek him. They are Ephesians 6 people. Listen to the Rog Spires paraphrase from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, taking your stand against the devil's schemes, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying. Intercessors are people of great courage who are not afraid of applying the armor of God and doing battle against the full force of the devil, against his rulers, against his authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Because intercessors know with 100% confidence, as it tells us in Colossians chapter 2, that Jesus disarmed the powers and authorities. He disarmed the powers and authorities, making a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. And intercessors know and believe with 100% confidence what it tells them in Romans chapter 8. Listen to this from verse 38. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Intercessors are people of strong faith. They believe that God will move as they pray and as they seek him. And off the back of that faith, they stand on scriptures like Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. From James chapter 5, verse 16. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Intercessors are people who believe in a mighty God who can do immeasurably more than we can dream or imagine. And they keep on praying. And they keep on praying because they believe that wholeheartedly God will answer and give wonderful results. Intercessors are people who understand their identity as God's children. They do not let themselves to be held back by intimidation or operate out of a place of fear and rejection. They understand and they stand on. Galatians chapter 4, verse 7. Now you are no longer a slave, but you're God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. They stand on scriptures like 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. And from John chapter 1, verse 12, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So out of that, out of who they are and who they recognize they are in God, what is the role of an intercessor? Well, out of that place of courage and faith and acceptance of their identity in Christ, intercessors are people who can stand in the gap in prayer between what is happening on earth and what can happen when heaven is released. An intercessor is somebody who is rightly positioned in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. It's somebody who is in tune with the watchman and the gatekeeper and who is willing to take the warning and pray with confidence, pray with power, pray with courage, pray with faith, taking a stand against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Somebody who is willing to stand in the gap so that the enemy is thwarted and so that God's kingdom can come to earth as it is in heaven. Their role is to touch God's heart by dwelling in the throne room of heaven, recognizing and living with an awesome respect and fear of Almighty God. Psalm 25, verse 14 says, "The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them." But you know, the ultimate intercessor is Jesus. Romans chapter 8 and verse 34 tells us that he is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Intercessors confidently listen to God, asking him what to pray for. Jesus, what are the prayers you are praying? What are the prayers you are praying for my family? Jesus, what are the prayers you are praying as the ultimate intercessor? What are the prayers you are praying for Stroud as you intercede for us? What are the blessings you have for us and our community that you want to release to us? And as they ask God what to pray for, they can then pray effective prayers in line with his will and his purposes, which allows God to release the solutions he has for bringing his transforming power, his blessings, and healing to earth. A few weeks ago, we watched in horror as racial violence and anger manifested itself on the streets of our cities and towns. And as it threatened to escalate, I spoke with Martin and suggested we mobilize folks to pray. And you know, I was greatly encouraged by how many of you responded to that call, and we gathered to pray for our nation. Do you know, it was a powerful time. It was a powerful time as we prayed. As we prayed against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And as we and many Christians up and down our land prayed that evening, that Wednesday evening, the violence and hatred that was being predicted would happen didn't. It didn't. That was a perfect example of how watchmen were alert to what was coming. The gatekeepers took action and mobilized the intercessors to pray. The three roles working together in unity. And if you want to act again, I was just browsing. I don't buy the Stroud News very often. It's not worth it. It's so thin for a quid. And I bought it this week and I was looking through it just to see, is there something happening in our town that we need to pray for? And there was one thing that caught my eye. They were advertising quite a big piece in the paper. They were advertising a spiritual and wellness fair at Stonehouse Court next Sunday between 10:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. where they will have tarot readers, healing therapists, crystals, psychic artists, and much more for people to experience. Acting as a watchman and a gatekeeper, can I encourage you, can I implore you to pray that the work of the enemy be thwarted? Remember, as we said last week, all it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. If we have no watchmen, then the gatekeepers do not know when to open or shut the gates. And if we have no gatekeepers, then it's pointless being watchmen. And if we have no intercessors, then the work of the watchmen and the gatekeepers is twice as hard. Psalm 133 says this: how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Let's live together in unity, listening and honouring one another, recognising our roles and authority we have as watchmen, gatekeepers and intercessors. And as we do that within the boundaries we operate in, whether that be at family level, at church level, at community level, at town or city level, at regional level, at national level, or even international level, let's be a people who are willing to stand in the gap and pray unceasingly, your kingdom come, your will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. And as we do that, let's believe for the fulfillment of Psalm 133, that we can see God's blessing being released, stopping the havoc, stopping the chaos, stopping the devastation, stopping the destruction that the enemy seeks to bring in its tracks. So that, as I said last week, the families he has placed us in and our communities he has called us to can experience and know the supernatural outpouring of the Holy Spirit bringing peace and joy and hope and freedom and compassion and love and righteousness and healing and prosperity and reconciliation. And so that we can know the fulfillment of the second half of John chapter 10, verse 10. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. God bless you.